However you feel like doing it, just become joyful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is there anybody here that used to spend your Saturday nights elsewhere? You can't always say that you frequented the house of God and knew about the things that are happening around here tonight. That you was just somewhere else in another state of mind doing other things on Saturday night. Saturday night had a symbol. You knew you waited on Saturday and then you regretted Saturday after Saturday came. But tonight you was looking for Saturday, not for the same old reason. But you said, I will sure be glad when they say unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. I need to tell somebody, nobody has their arm twisted up behind your back, a gun to your head. You don't have to be here, but if you're here because you want to be here in the presence of the Lord, you need to clear you out some room and praise the Lord and let everything around you know I'm glad to be here. I'm not being pushed, pulled, dragged. I'm a recovered changed man because I used to have a severe drug problem. My mama would get me up Sunday morning and she drug me to Sunday school. And then by the time I thought that would be over with, she got me up and she drug me back to church Sunday night. And we break out in revival and we didn't do like we do in rest nights and all this. When I was a kid, you had to go at least 8 weeks with no rest night or they didn't think we'd had anything yet. So she would drug me back Monday, drug me back Tuesday, drug me back Wednesday. But I'm so glad to know tonight, ain't nobody drugged this boy in here to do anything. I'm afraid some of you look like you're being drugged into this. Well, there's an exit sign there, and here's one over here. But as for me, I'm not looking for a way to get out of this thing. I'm looking for a way to get into something that I have not yet experienced. Some kind of move of the Holy Ghost that'll get me wrapped up, tied up, tangled up with a third dimension of the glory that I have never seen before. Hey. Brother Wimberly, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. There's just nothing you can do about that. Don't you love your pastor? Sister Wimberly, we love you too. I mean that. There's a lot of people I just preach for, and I say, we won't ever go back. I promise my wife, we won't ever have to go back and deal with that mess again. You know, don't pray, don't love God, just content to pat a cake for Jesus. I mean, they treat me good as far as that goes, but just don't know how to love God. They love church, but they don't love God. They love the music, but they don't love the one that we're talking about in the music. And I got too many better places to go than to go fool around with them kind of people that aren't in the business of saving souls and trying to have revival. And that's what I love about Brother Wimberly. He understands that there's something called a move of God. Not the movement of people, but allowing the Lord to have His way. And I am so appreciative. My Lord, if I'm sluggish tonight, it's this man right over here's fault. Right over here is this elder over here of mine. You blame it on him. He fed me baby back ribs, them other kind of barbecue ribs, pork loins, corn, potato salad. You'd have thought somebody died and we done gathered around to eat the Last Supper. He fixed me up, but I think all he's done is gave me my second wind. I want you to kind of shake yourself and let the devil know I'm not tired yet. The spirit's willing. The flesh is weak, brother, but I feel one coming on. I want you to join me over here, and this is just a spirit of joy and jubilation here. Look at somebody, just smile at them. Just look over at someone. Just give them a big smile. There's a good spirit of joy. I mean, we're not in bondage or any of that stuff. We in revival here. I just feel like tonight, before this is over with, me and my wife liable to catch hands and just dance down this center aisle. Amen. I think if you're going to dance, you better dance with a pretty woman. So I'm going to praise God. Somebody said, I hadn't quit dancing, I just changed partners. I'm still dancing in the presence of the Lord. Do you feel what I feel? Just a joy. Don't be uptight tonight. Just smile. Let's have church. Matthew chapter number 27. And then I'm going over here into the book of Luke chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 27 and then the book of Luke chapter number 10. Whenever you find the place of reference in Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 27, I want you to shout, I win. This is why you can say that you win. Matthew 27 and verse 27 said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. They had to make him do it. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. And they crucified him. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. The best way that I could make it very plain to you and I, what you just read about the crucifixion of the Lord, his scourging and his mocking and his beating and all that the Lord endured through his suffering acts on the cruel cross of Calvary. That in verse 35 it said some things that are interesting that we would have to update for a 2005 congregation to understand. That they crucified him and parted his garments and casting lots. The Bible said in the latter portion of the verse, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. The best way that I could say this, that you could understand today what exactly the Lord was experiencing here, is that while he was hung out on Calvary's altar, that beneath his feet at that place of sacrifice, there were some men that were casting lots for his vesture. The best way that I could say it for you is that there were some men that were so vile, that were so unsensitive to what was going on up here, that they could get right down in the altar that was stretched between the veil of eternity and time and began to gamble over the robe that Jesus was wearing. I want you to ask your neighbor tonight, Are you gambling in the presence of God? Are you gambling at the altar of sacrifice? Would you ask somebody tonight, are you gambling tonight here? I'm not asking you if you got the Holy Ghost. I'm not even asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, are you playing like that this is just another service, that there'll be many more hereafter? Just another nonchalant kind of thing. They gambled for his robe. Over here in the book of Luke, chapter number 10, when you find verse number 18, I want you to say, I win. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And everybody got real ready to shout and say, praise God. We're going to shout because the devil's been kicked out. Yeah, he's down here with us now. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And this is what Jesus said. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and over some of the power of the enemy, and over a few things that the enemy does. He said, and over all of the power of the enemy. And not very many things will be able to hurt you. Jesus is very plain about what he says. He says, I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be able to hurt you. It's important for me to reference in verse 19 that Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread. The word is pateo in the Greek, and this is what it means. It doesn't mean to step on like to squish. It means to put the foot down with force. It means to stomp on something. I want somebody here tonight will just kind of help me for a moment and say, I need to put my foot down here tonight. Jesus was saying, I'm giving you power to trample on the top of some things. I'm giving you the ability. It actually means this. Pateo means to punish underneath the foot. In other words, what Jesus done on Calvary fulfilled a prophetic word that said this. The seed of this woman over here is going to come to life, and he's going to take his foot and he's going to crush your head and bruise his heel. In other words, whenever you start preaching about Calvary, you begin to crush the head, the reasoning place of the adversary that says, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to kill, and I'm going to steal. But somebody here tonight is going to plead the blood of Jesus and say, I'm not going home until I've stomped this little thing under the cross of Jesus. There's victory in that cross tonight. My Jesus. So just allow me to preach to you, and you preach with me about heads or tails. We win. Find you a worship partner, and if they starchy and they look like a mannequin, find somebody else and say, I want you to know, heads or tails, we win tonight. All right, heads or tails, we win here tonight. God, we love you and we praise you. I realize, Jesus, I can't do anything. I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody. But Lord, if you'll anoint me, I can become somebody in you. Allow the gift of faith to get loose in this house. Loose the gifts of the Spirit. Loose the real thing in the Holy Ghost. Let somebody be Holy Ghost baptized. Let somebody be pulled out of darkness into your marvelous light. I love you and I praise you and I adore you. And if you're looking for Jesus to step on the scene, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? And would you magnify the Lord? Yee-ha-ha. Oh, somebody needs to call on Jesus. Come on, I know it's Saturday, and I know we've been going for a while, but the last person hasn't got the Holy Ghost yet. The last person hasn't got their miracle just yet. I don't
don't know what we're wrestling with right now. I'm going to hang around here and find out. But I feel like there's somebody that's being restricted by something. You're letting eyes of intimidation or whatever it is talk you out of an experience with the Lamb of God. But I wish you'd forget everybody for a moment and realize you got to do this for yourself. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it. The preacher can't even do it. You have to do this between you and Jesus. Oh, I love you. Praise God. Pastor just mentioned to me that Reverend Keith Clark is back here. Wave at us, brother. Praise God. I'm sure he'd like to introduce him. I heard you preach on tape years ago. Bless me. God bless the ministry tonight. You can be seated in the house and in the presence of the Lord. Only be seated if you're going to help me preach tonight. Not very long ago, my wife and I, we had taken a little vacation to see some of our relatives down in the Gulf area of Mexico. We were visiting and we had stopped along a little seaside area to let my boys get out to get a good look at the water and the waves and all that was happening there on the sandy beaches. As I was standing there, something began to catch my eye that changed me from that day even to now. I looked down about a mile from where we were standing and I just kind of faded out of the situation of visiting with family and folk and relatives. I want to tell you, if you're going to have an experience with God, you got to kind of phase out of all of the things that are around you and become cognizant of what the Holy Ghost is trying to demonstrate in the middle of all the clamor that is happening. And so it was just kind of like I was there, but I was not there. I just looked down the sea line about a mile, and I noticed that there was a large edifice that was standing there. It was bright. It was brilliant. It was glamorous. I began to notice what was happening, that there was trolleys and there were buses. There were even stretched out limousines that were pulling up into this parking lot, and they were dropping off scores of people. I mean, they were coming in by the tens and by the 50s, and probably some of those buses were holding scores near 100 of people that were going in. I began to ascertain what I was looking at was a large stretched out edifice that was actually a casino. People were embarking on a journey. They were going into a place and saying, I just believe with all that's in me that I can take what I have right here, I can invest it in this thing here, and I can walk out of here with more than what I have walked in here with. I just stood watching this. I stood enamored. I never have been a gambler, but I began to think about what these people were doing. These people were taking a chance on something that had no guarantee to it. Nobody was telling them, you're going to leave here with the desired result that you're looking for. Nobody met them at the entrance of the casino and said, just sign on the dotted line and you're going to positively leave here unequivocally with the desired result that you came looking for. It was kind of like they were flipping a coin. Heads, they were going to win, and tails, they were going to lose. I drove away from there even in the car, and this was on my mind. I was thinking, what kind of faith do even people in the world possess that they're so hungry to achieve particular things? They say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what this might cost me. They even understand you don't get anything for nothing. But they said, I'm willing to throw down everything that I do have, and I'm willing to chance everything to walk away with what I'm looking for. On my way home, see, it's already happening. on my way home, I began to think about, just let me preach tonight now, I began to think about how much of a stingy spirit we are competing with in the apostolic church. It's all about me and about mine and about my stuff and about my money and about my ministry and my church and my organization and everything so one-sided. There's no wonder that we're missing the element of miracles, because miracles are birth where there is a spirit of sacrifice and there is a spirit that says, I'll risk everything just to achieve one little touch from what it is that I've never felt before. I feel the Holy Ghost. I began to think of what kind of faith these secular people were walking in. And I began to think about, where is the church missing a mark here? Whenever Jesus said something that's so profound, these people are just saying, maybe I will and maybe I won't. Possibly I'll get it, possibly I won't. But it didn't stop them from taking the chance. But the Lord said, He said, I'm going to give you something that's a little better than that. Something that you can sow a seed into. Something that you can believe for. That's a lot broader in strokes. A lot more foundational in its message. And that is, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you if you can just believe in the miracle working power of a man named Jesus. He said that, but he said something more than that. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents and to tread on scorpions also. There's something in what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm giving you power to tread on scorpions. Would you like to understand that 500 people every year die because they are bitten by the infectious wound that is caused from a scorpion bite? But here's the thing that blows me away. The part of a scorpion that you don't want to get yourself entangled with is the power of a scorpion's tail. You don't have to worry about his features. You don't have to worry about his nose or his head. The power of a scorpion to do you harm lives in his tail. And the Lord said, now that we got that covered, He said, let me tell you what else you can stomp down beneath your feet. I'm also going to give you power over serpents. 100,000 people die every year because they are bitten by the bite of an old serpent. But the part of a serpent that you got to be careful not to get wrestled up with is the power that not what lives in the rattler or the tail or in the belly somewhere. It's the power of a serpent's head that can do you in. It's kind of like the Lord was saying, if my people would just learn to put full trust and put every kind of energy into the word that I'm giving them, it won't matter if it's heads and it won't matter if it's tails. It won't matter if it's life and it won't matter if it's death. I need to tell somebody, this is not hope so. Sometime maybe on Sunday, but the promises of God, they are yea and they are amen. This isn't maybe you can and maybe you won't, but they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall. Somebody needs to shout, I shall recover. Not maybe I can recover, but I shall recover everything. My God, I don't know what kind of hand you've been dealt in your marriage or in your finances or even the sin you got entangled in. But there's a God that said, don't look at the hand. Put all your bed on the table. I've got this thing hotwired. My people always win in the end. Well, I only got a couple people. Bet everything anyway. Well, you don't know what people are saying about me. Bet everything anyway. Well, you don't know what my ministry's been through. Bet everything anyway. My Lord, any weapon that rages, we allow what we give God to be dictated by what we see that we have in the natural. But what we really have is a promise that says it does not matter what you're facing. It is always going to come out. You win in the end. You know what they do in the casino and the lottery? They wait to see if their lucky letters and their lucky numbers pop up. And if they scratch the old lottery ticket off and the right numbers pop up, they go by what they see there, and that dictates what it is that they feel like they have gained. But I want to inform you that our lucky letters jumped up 2,000 years ago, and they are J-E-S-U-S. My mama told me, boy, when you don't know what else to say, call on Jesus. Somebody here tonight is fighting something in your prayer life. I'm just going to stop and obey God. When you get down to pray, it's like there's something that don't want you to press through the roof of the ceiling. It's kind of like an old pressing demon that sit there and sit to your prayer life, so that every time you kneel down, he says, I am assigned to keep your words from breaking through to the throne of God. And you've been trying to say all these fancy things. You've been trying to figure out, what tongue do I need to pray in? I feel like telling you, whoever you are, you need to start calling on Jesus. You need to fall down. And if you can't do nothing else, say, Jesus, Jesus, there's power in the name. Come on, somebody. You're going to come out when you learn heads and tails you win if you call on the name of Jesus. Some of you are looking what your hand looks like. You're looking at what odds are against you. But I'd like to inform you, if it lands on one, we got this thing in the bag. For the Bible said, there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism, one body and one spirit. You may feel like the Lone Ranger, but one Christian and one God are a majority. My Lord, I'm doing this all by myself. No, you ain't. There's a God that said, one of you and one of me, we can chase 1,000 heads or tails. You're going to win. I'm looking around, preacher, and I don't have any backup. Oh, quit looking around and start looking up. There's one God. John the Baptist, who do you think you are, Mr. Prophet, sir? Where's your entourage? You come in here, camel's hair, eating locusts. Who are you, John? He said, I'm just the voice of one, but one voice from one man. Oh, yeah. Just one voice can turn the world upside down. Well, if it lands on two heads or tails, we win. Because your Bible said, if any two of you can agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done. The problem with some people is, you're walking with people you can't fully agree with. You're yoked up with people that will not agree, that will not accept what God wants to do in your life. I'm not being rude. I promise I'm not. But if I was you, I'd drop them like a bad habit. I'd say, I don't need you. You don't need me. I'm just going to go on and do what I need to do. Because how can two walk together except they can agree? Oh, if I could just convince old brother so-and-so. Let me tell you about old brother so-and-so. You ain't going to convince him until God convicts him. And until God convicts him, you're wasting your breath trying to convince him. Find you somebody that's made in the image and likeness of God and say, here's my worship partner. This is who I want with me in the prayer room. You don't need every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You just need the right person. I'm going to hurt us if we don't sit down or something. If it lands on three, Jesus said, you go ahead and you tear my life up. You go ahead and you bruise me and you beat me. Tell your neighbor, say, go ahead. Go ahead and destroy this temple. But he said, you count them down, baby doll. In 3 days, there's a third dimension. He said, I'm going to raise it back up again. I feel like telling somebody, you're about to step into a third dimension. You've been knocked down, beat up, but I feel like you're about to be raised back up again. Oh, don't let me prophesy, but I feel like right now the devil might have meant it for evil, but God said, I'm going to use it for good to save much people. I'm going to use what the enemy's done to you to pull out one more word, one more blessing. Sokotola Messiah. Jesus, help us, God. If it lands on four, I'll slow down so you can get a breath or something. If it lands on four, the Bible wants you to understand. If you find yourself backed up in a corner and your back is against the wall, do you know you can't ever pray like you can pray when your back's up against the wall? You want to get a greater prayer life? You need some fiery furnaces of affliction. And if you're backed up against the wall in the fiery furnace of affliction and you can't see anybody but them same old ones that's always been around, you need to check the situation again. There's always a fourth man that said, I'm going to get in here with you. I know they're trying to burn you out. I know they're trying to shut you up. I know that they don't want you to be in the king's court. He said, but I'm going to be the fourth man. Here I go again. I feel it coming again to tell somebody, you'd already be out of here if it wasn't for the fourth man that said, I'm going to let you get in the fire, but I'm not going to let the fire get in you. I'm going to let you get in the trouble, but I'm not going to let the trouble, because there's a fourth man. Oh, Shandele Mahaya. If it lands on five, five is the number of grace. Yeah, it is. It's the grace of God that brings you the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's five areas of offerings that can be offered up to God. But the one that I really like is when I find that when Jesus was making his track to save a lost and a dying humanity, that when they got ready to beat on Jesus, that they made a treacherous mistake. They put five wounds in his body. They put the first wound in his right foot and the second wound in his left foot. when they drove them deep down into that cruel crisscross of crucifixion. They pulled the third wound out of that stretched out right hand and nailed it to the cross. The fourth wound was interjected into his body when they took that big square wrought iron nail and they drove it deep down into the other side of that cross. Four wounds in the body of Jesus. He's dead now. There's no more room for improvement until some old Roman soldier came by and said, I'm going to break his legs so he won't be able to get up and catch his breath. They would break the legs so they could not get another breath because they had to stretch themselves up off of that nail in the foot to get some more oxygen in the lungs. But they said, we're going to break the legs. But when he got to Jesus, he couldn't break his legs because there was already a priest prayed, prophesied word that said not a bone of him's going to be broken. Let me tell you, you better be in the house of God where you can get a word in your life that said they are not going to backslide. They are not going to go back on the bottle. They are not going to fall back into the areas where they come from. And he said, so I can't break his legs. But he pulled out an old spear. And he said, I got to do something. And he pulled out the fifth scarring, wounding object. And he jabbed it right into the side of the Messiah. When it found its mark, your Bible said blood and water began to flow. I like what the prophet said. He said, in the house of David, there shall be opened up a fountain for remissions of sins for much people. You know what I'm telling you? You might have fell down, but there's still some blood here that speaketh better things than that of Abel. If it lands on five, God is not counting how many times you fall down. He wants to know how many times are you willing to get back up and say, I plead the blood. I just plead the blood. You hear me, somebody? That's why we can worship. Because it landed on fire. You messed it up. You said what you said you'd never say. Done what you said you'd never do. But since it landed on fire, devil, we plead the blood. I plead the blood from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. If it lands on six, man is a six-day creation. We were created on the sixth day. And as much as you want to try, you can never become what it is that is anything other than what you are. And that is a person that is created in the image and the likeness of God. You can pervert who you are, but it does not change who you really are and who you are really supposed to be. Can I preach to us? I'm not trying to get on us and whoop us tonight, but I'm so tired of apostolic people acting like we got a ride in some old clunker because we're not humble if we got good shoes and a good house. We act like we're going to have to feel guilty if the Lord wants us to be something more than some old beggarly thing from the elements of the world. Let me tell you, my friend, we are not a bunch of nobodies. We are the people of God and the representatives and the ambassadors of Christ upon this earth. And I'm to say this very boldly, you cannot have a gospel reach around this world if you don't have the money to back it up and to finance it. We need to begin to say, Lord, we need a financial miracle to hit the church so we can get on the radio and so we can get some buses across town. You ain't humble because you're broke. You're broke probably because you're not paying your tithes and you're not giving offerings. And you're closing up the bowels of compassion to the poor and to the needy. If it lands on seven, seven is God's number of perfection. Anytime God does something, He always does things in a harmonious balance. 7 is a number of perfection. I know that there are 7 years of a famine that are going to hit the earth. But He said, you need to understand about what God is going to do before that 7 years of misfortune occurs. There's first going to be 7 years of plenty. I know that there's 7 bowls of wrath. And dear God, I believe in all the Revelation teaching, but I don't believe you can scare people into this. Not to stay. You got to fall in love with Jesus. You got to fall in love with Jesus. If you're here because you're scared of me, behind my back, you're doing everything that you're big enough to do. But if you love the Lord, you love the Lord when you're at home, and you say, can't go that way. Nope, can't pick that up. Can't touch that. Can't go over here. Because you love the Lord. And what I understand is that while everybody wants to get me concerned about the 7 bowls of wrath and the 7 vials, what I understand is that there's 7 churches and the 7 angels and the 7 golden candlesticks. As a matter of fact, there's 7 seals that's holding all that stuff back. In other words, God said, you can only go through so much at a time. 1 seal at a time. Aren't you glad God didn't let you go through everything that you went through all at one time? He said, don't get afraid of the end time. I'm only going to let that Spirit work 1 seal at a time. And once you get victory there, we'll move on. Do you hear me, somebody? This thing is perfectly weighed out. There's more for you to praise God over than there is for you to backslide and throw in the towel and get discouraged about. Hallelujah. Moving right along. When it gets to 8, heads or tails, we win, regardless what's going on. Because 8 is the number of new beginnings. You go 7 days in a regular week, but on the 8th day, you start over a new week. As a matter of fact, I read something where the Lord said, I'm starting over. This human race that I have created is so wicked. Their minds are perverted. They got their minds on all the wrong things. He said, I'm going to wipe it out with a flood. And I'm going to start over. And it looked like tragedy was striking down upon the face of planet Earth. But the Lord said, anytime I shut one door, I'm always going to open up another door. And He said, I'm going to take the 8th person, Noah, and I'm going to take 8 people and put them in an ark. You know what? I keep feeling pains in the Holy Ghost. So I'm trying to preach, but I can't go any further until I tell somebody, anytime the Lord says, I got to put an end to this, you need to just say, well, preach the funeral and let it die right there. Because there's got to be a new beginning jumping up for me over here. Do you hear me? You ain't out of business yet. Heads or tails. I don't care how high the water is. The Lord's always got an ark. I don't know who said, you're going to drown like everybody else. The Lord said, no, you're not. I'm going to use you to start a new thing that could have never happened unless I drowned in everything else. If it lands on 9, 9 is a number of spiritual restoration. 9 fruit and 9 gifts of the Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Spirit are as follows. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits. These are fitly framed into the area of revelatory gifts of God. Words of wisdom that give you almost a prophetic glimpse into the future with what to do with the knowledge that you understand in the physical right now. And the word of knowledge that gives you a supernatural revelation of something that's going on back here in time or is happening right here in time. or the discerning of spirits that reveals to you the climate and the temperature of the spirit world around you. When you move beyond that, you go into the power attributes of God. Those are the revelatory seeing spirits, or the seeing attributes of God. But when you get to the power attributes of God, they are the gift of faith, the ability for you to believe today with what you could not have believed on the faith that you had yesterday. It is an impartation of supernatural faith that says, I don't know how I believe it, but get out of your wheelchair. It's a supernatural faith that says, I don't know how it is. I'm going to tell you to do this, but blind eyes come open. I feel some gift of faith here. I feel like people could be imparted with a gift of faith tonight. It may just last for a couple moments, but whenever it begins to move on you, you need to say, finances, you're going to turn us loose. You hamstringing devil, I command you to turn my family loose. The gifts of healing, especially made with an S on the end. Not the gift of healing, but the gifts of healing. Because there are many things that need to be healed. And a God that says, I got many ways to heal many things. It's not singular, it's plural. And the gift of the working of miracles. This is the ability for God to step into the law of nature, suspend the rules, and say, I know the sea's supposed to flow this way, but today you're going to stand on a heap and allow my man and my people to make a track through what seems to be an impossibility. I feel faith in this house right now. That is the power attributes of God in operation through the frailty of human flesh. And then you get into the area of the vocal attributes of God, spoken off the tongue of a created man, a woman who is made in the image and likeness of God, even as you and I are tonight. These are specified like so. The gift of prophecy, to speak a prophetic utterance in the first person, as though the Lord had stepped on the scene and said, this is what I say. This is my mind. This is my will. To hear that kind of a word from God is a precious thing. And then the next area is the gift of tongues. And then the gift of interpretation of tongues. It is interlocking together as if to give proof or credence to a prophetic word that will be spoken in the like manner. But it couples two in agreement as if to tell the unbeliever what you're hearing now. It is from the Lord. Oh, Sunday, I feel like telling you that we have landed on 9 in this area. I'm tired of people fighting against the gifts of the Spirit because there's some flaky cowboys over here doing some flaky stuff. You better be careful what you criticize, because the gifts of the Spirit are back in the church. And I would be careful before I said, I don't know about all that. You better know about this. You might need a healing. And then you know who you're going to look for? You're going to look for somebody that you know has prayed the prayer of faith. Nobody ever believes until they need it. Let's raise our hands and love the Lord. If it lands on 10, there are 10 commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one Lord. The second commandment is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The third commandment is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth commandment is thou shalt honor my Sabbath and keep it holy. The fifth commandment is honor thy mother and thy father, that the days of thy life shall be long upon the face of the earth. The last 5 out of the 10 commandments are thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, and thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Moses says it like this. this. He says, if you will follow after the Lord to do all of these things which I, the Lord thy God, command thee to do this day. He said it like this. He said, I will make you the head and not the tail. I will make you above and not beneath. You will be blessed in the city and you will be blessed in the field. Your basket will be blessed and the fruit of your womb shall be blessed. He's saying, in another words, if you have an obedient spirit to the things of God, don't let somebody come along and say you're wasting your time living in some bondage factor. No, no, no. When you live under the ordinances of the laws of God, you're entitled to this promise that says, heads or tails, you're going to be able to win, because the enemy doesn't have anything in you to point to. He can't say you're in transgression here. You're out of covenant here. Honey, I'm standing on the law, living under grace. I'm not trying to make it under the law. I'm on the law. It's a foundation to get me up here where grace can suspend the rules. I'm going to close right in here with this. I was preaching in Florida. I'd stepped out the back. They'd already started service and I had stepped out the back. They had a patio out the back side of the church and I'd stepped back there to get a breath of fresh air. I just was standing there. I could hear the music inside playing. I was just gathering up my thoughts, just trying to figure out which way to go, just to make sure where I was. I love all the music and everything else. Don't you enjoy the anointed music? But what I do is I try to get it from God, so nothing anybody else says has anything to do with what I'm going to say. You understand? I don't want to be influenced by, well, they sang that song, so I need to preach this. I want to make sure that I'm being totally influenced by God. I just stepped outside to try to get the mind of God for a moment. While I was standing out there, I noticed that there was a van that came pulling up. It was kind of a rickety thing, a brown-looking van. And I was just standing there watching what was happening. This van pulled up alongside, and I noticed it took forever for the man that was driving to finally get out. Whenever he finally got out of his van, I noticed that he put a crutch out on the ground. And I was just kind of amazed. He couldn't see me, but I could see him under the light. And I was just kind of amazed watching this man drive in the condition that he was in. When I watched him get out, Brother Wimberly, it took him a long time to get perched up. And when he got up on it, he finally wheeled around and he pushed that door shut in that van. Somebody came around to kind of give him some assistance and help him in. I was standing there watching this. I was thinking, what faith? Oh, I wish I had time to tell you. I wish I had time to preach my whole message, but I don't have time. I've said enough. And as I watched him kind of limp his way through there, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you will go to him and you'll pray for him, I'll heal him. He said, if you'll go in faith and you'll pray for this man, I'll heal this man tonight. Oh God, how many times has God wanted to do it, but it just looked a little too risky. It looked like, what if it don't happen? What if... And I stood there without a doubt in my mind. I said, God, I know you're talking in my heart right now. And I said, I don't play games with God. I let God know, God, I hope I don't let anything talk me out of this tonight, because I know that you're talking to me right now. I waited when the service was moving. I began to pray. I began to preach. And we began to have service. I watched him sitting here on the second row. He couldn't stand when everybody else was. But when I finally felt the Spirit of God had kind of broken up the service enough that there was faith present. I didn't preach a good while like I did tonight. I just went down to him and I told him what I felt. I said, sir, I said, if you'll leave that cane here, if you'll leave that crutch hanging where it is right here, and I said, you'll obey God and you'll step out in this aisle, I said, the Holy Ghost is going to heal you here tonight. I said, all you have to do is have an obedient spirit to just try what it is I'm asking you to do. This man was bent over. He had something, scoliosis or whatever, in his spine. I watched this man as people moved out of his way to make his way down to the end of that aisle. When he got to the end, he stood there what seemed like an eternity. But we just stood there waiting on God. Let me tell you, sometimes you got to just hold on when everybody else is saying, this is a waste of my time. But they have not invested the measure of faith in which you have invested. My wife and I watched this man bent over on his spine whenever the presence of God just shined down on him like some kind of a bolt out of heaven. I watched this man, he raised straight up, his back perfectly aligned before our eyes. He left his crutch hanging on the front seat and he began to walk down the center aisle. He stopped while everybody's mouth was gaped open and he said, I am pain free right now. He said, I am pain free. You know what it took? It took him saying, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try one more time. Oh, I'd like to tell you what he done. He came up to where we were and he hung his cane on the side of the pulpit. He told me after service, he said, I've been like this for years. He said, I never thought anything like this could happen to me. He began to weep and cry. He said, I never thought that this could happen to me. He left the service walking without any limp or anything whatsoever. His cane, his crutch was up here on the pulpit. I got up the next morning, made my way into the service or to the church to pray. And when I rounded the corner, guess what I found? That old crutch was still hung up on the side of the pulpit. I took the platform to preach that night. Guess what was hanging there while I was preaching? It was that man's crutch. You know what he was saying? He's saying, I'm putting this beneath my feet and I'm not going home with an excuse that says if a pain comes back, I can get back on my crutch again. I feel like telling you, you need to break every excuse why it can't happen, why you can't walk like you used to walk and do like you used to do. You need to hang up the excuses and say heads or tails, life or death, this world or that world, whatever I'm facing, there is no reason why I can't see God do it for me. This is awesome. We hadn't taken up an offering, but the Holy Ghost has taken up an offering. Sowing seeds for miracles to break loose in your life is a biblical thing. It belongs to us. It belongs to us. Brother Gressett, just go catch your wife by the hand real quick. Hallelujah. Hurry up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody to just kind of stretch hands towards them right now. Hallelujah. I just feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to loose those finances that the devils feel like he's got you hamstringed by. And I feel like telling you the Lord wants me to let you know that the majority of what you're going to be able to do in your ministry, you've not seen that happen yet. I'm not rebuking or anything in that area. But the Lord wants me to tell you, you cannot depend on the financial structure that you're looking at right now to base what kind of man of a God or what kind of revival or what kind of things God can do in you. The Lord wants you to understand that you don't see the finances, but you got to just sow for them, because there's something that's on its way. There's something that's coming. Do not trust in horses. Do not trust in men. Do not trust in what somebody else can pay or do. You just trust in your level of faith. God, I'm putting all this in your hands, and I'm loosing a financial miracle that's going to come from a source unknown. I loose it. All this worrying about finances that's trying to get you driving yourself crazy, the Lord said, I'm going to lift that heaviness. I'm going to lift this financial burden. I don't know what it all is. I just know that you're worried about finances. And the Lord said, I'm going to work it out. You just got to have faith. When you sow a seed, it's going to come back to you again. I'm fixing to give an altar call. I'm fixing to give an altar call. If you're here and you haven't tried this Jesus that I've been preaching about, if you leave without Him, it's heads or tails, you lose. But if you leave with Him, regardless what happens to you, diagnose you with cancer, tear your family up, hook you up to the machine, whatever. If you leave here with Jesus, heads or tails, you win. You win. Let's raise our hands and love Him. Let's raise our hands and love Him. Come on, let's press into this spirit that's here right now. There's a spirit of encouragement from the Lord here right now. There's a good spirit of encouragement here. It's come to encourage, to tell somebody, put your foot on it, step on it, press on, go on. Come on, just raise your hands and love Him with me here. I feel Jesus saying, try me. I'm not a casino wheel. I'm not a button on a slot machine. What you give me, what you sow into my kingdom, it'll come back. Sow repentance, you'll reap forgiveness every time. Sow yourself to be buried in the name of Jesus, you'll go with sins in remission every time, not sometime. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every time. Every time. I'm through preaching sometime. The reason it only happens sometime is because we preach sometime. But if you preach every time, it's every time. Oh, Jesus.